we limit sometimes, in fact, probably often, we limit God by our unbelief. We know He's sovereign. He can do what He wants, when He wants, however He wants. But we also know that He honors those who believe Him. He honors faith. And without it, it's impossible to please Him, you know. Without believing Him, you can't please Him. He wants you and I to believe Him. I hear what you said. I read this, Lord, but wow, that's kind of a big deal. It's not a big deal for God. It's a big deal for us, yes. But He's bigger than we are. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So we got to believe beyond our limitations. And that God is able to do anything. For nothing is impossible with God. So we have a wonderful God who loves us. And He demonstrates His love to us in tangible ways. But, you know, these things are signs, folks. And sometimes people have trouble believing. And folks, let me just say this, that I know sometimes we can get into just chasing after signs and wonders, and that's not a healthy thing. We need to be searching for Him. We need to be God chasers. Amen. Chasing the heart of God. Pursuing Jesus. And these signs will follow. But signs point to something, you know? And the Lord wants us to know that He's with us, that He's among us. And He wants to make Himself known. Do you know that many people believed on Jesus when they saw the signs? Why did He do signs, folks? He did signs so that they would believe. That gets criticized, folks, but that's the Word of God. That many believed on Jesus when they saw the signs. And so you and I don't have to just come to church to do these things. Amen? But it's in the marketplace. It's in your workplace. It's somebody come and say, man, I've got a bad headache today. Well, let me pray for you. There's an opportunity. You know, I've walked in places before and somebody go, oh, you know. I said, oh, what's wrong? I got this pain in my arm. I said, well, let me pray for you. Well, okay. And just simply in the name of Jesus, be healed. And she'd go, wow, that's weird. Well, you can say, hey, that's God loving on you. That's Jesus loving on you. Do you know Jesus? Do you know often, folks, when people see a miracle or they see a sign, they want to know where it came from. They want to know the one who did it. Why? Because that's God loving on them. And sometimes if you don't get what you think you should have, and you don't maybe get the miracle you're believing for, and you may pray your entire life and maybe never see it, folks, it's still God loving on you. Why? Because sometimes we need something like Jacob, where he limped the rest of his life as a reminder of his encounter with God. Now, His ways are beyond us fully understanding. But we have to come to the place where we're going to trust Him unconditionally. Whether He does things my way or not, it's really not about my opinion. It's about what He says that matters. What does God have to say about it? There's a lot of people that have opinions about God, but we probably have many varying opinions in here this morning. But it's not our opinion that matters. It's what does God have to say about it? And the problem is we don't align with what God says often. We're not agreeing with God because we just don't happen to agree with that. Well, I read that, I see what it says, but I don't happen to like that. And so we limit God's grace in our lives because we pick and choose what we're going to believe about Him. How many know that God wants us to believe His full counsel? He wants us to believe all of His Word. Because if you don't eat a balanced diet, you get sick. And there are a lot of sick Christians because they only want to eat the sweet things. And some of them, they just want to suck on the bottle all their life too. And they don't want to get into the solid meat. And there's a time where you've got to start to grow up. And you're not always going to feel His presence. It's time for you to start to walk by faith. I don't feel you anymore, God, but I know you're with me. Because you promised to be with me. I'm learning how to lean on Jesus. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. We've been talking about pulling down strongholds. Now, strongholds are places of security that we give to the devil due to rebellion and unbelief often. It's in areas of our lives that we simply don't want to agree with God on. I know God expects this, but I don't want to do it. I don't feel like it. Has anybody ever done that before? I don't feel like it. Well, it's like the kid that gets up in the morning and says, I don't feel like going to school. Well, it's not good just to live by your feelings. If you get up every morning and you don't feel like going to school, you're not going to get anywhere, right? If you don't get up and you don't give your day to God, but we don't agree with God in the areas that we say, God, I don't agree with that. I like this, but I don't like that about you. It's in the area that we are rebelling against the revelation of God, that we are actually closing a door for the love and grace of God to come in. Are you with me? To bring healing, to bring wholeness to our lives. The Word of God is a lamp. It's a light. When the Word comes in, the entrance of your Word brings light. So we've got to be open to the light. And Jesus said in John 3 that this is the condemnation. This is why people are condemned. It's that the light has come into the world. But they love the darkness rather than the light. And they don't come into the light lest their deeds be exposed. How many know that it's necessary that our hearts are exposed before God? That we are an open book with God. That we are not trying to hold secrets from God. You can anyways. But He wants us to be honest about ourselves before Him and to make confession to Him. Lord, I'm struggling right now with this issue. Maybe I've got a stronghold of fear. Maybe it's a stronghold of some type of drug addiction or, of some type of insecurity. Some people have a stronghold of pornography. You know, there's many different strongholds. And these are usually because we were sympathetic towards evil. And as we were being sympathetic towards it, say, it's not a big deal. What? Just a little dabbling around once in a while. No big deal. Come on, how many have ever been addicted to a drug before? And it only started out with you dabbling with it. How many started dabbling with pornography only to find out that now this thing is just controlling you? Now nobody's going to raise their hand about that one. All right. But it's a very real thing, and many people are struggling with that very stronghold. Now that is what you call a voluntary stronghold. That is something that we allowed ourselves to get into. We opened a door by being sympathetic towards something that in your heart you know is not quite right. How many know that pornography reduces a person to a piece of meat? A person that God created in His image, a person that Jesus died for, it becomes just an object of your lust rather than a precious human being that needs redemption through Christ. Pornography has destroyed more families, more people. And it's a huge problem in our world, really. But in America, especially in America, is one of the major exporters of it. Billions of dollars a year through pornography. And it's everywhere, guys. You know, you're walking, you can't go anywhere without getting something blasting in your face that's trying to pull you away. Amen? From Christ. Now, God made us to be attracted to one another. Amen? Men and women, that is. That's His order. Amen? For procreation. And so, there's nothing wrong with having a look. You can't help but sometimes notice, like, wow, she was pretty hot. I just said what you were thinking, guys. So, you know, come on. You know, the rubbernecking and... Yeah. It's the second look. If you don't watch this thing, you know, on the top priority, in the top of the list for sins, deadly sins really, is sexual immorality, folks. It's huge because it destroys not only the soul, but it also mentally messes people up. It physically messes people up. People are dying. Yeah. Because of immorality. Because they had a better idea than God did. Because I don't agree with that portion of Scripture. I know what God says about me sleeping with my girlfriend outside of marriage, but I just happen to don't agree with that. And we can come up with any kind of excuse under the sun to try to validate our behavior that deep down in our hearts we know is wrong. But as long as you're sympathetic to that thing, you've actually opened a door for the enemy to destroy your life. And he will. And at first you may not know it because it's a very subtle thing. At first it's just, hey, no big deal. Hey, got away with it. It's like the little boy stealing from the cookie jar, you know? Well, started out with just taking a little, you know, maybe. And then later he just decides, hey, I'd like to go buy some candy. And I wonder, I saw some change laying around. I wonder if Mom would miss it or not. And, you know, next thing you know, he's pulling bills out of her wallet. Next thing you know, he's down shoplifting. Next thing you know, he's in behind bars doing time because a stronghold was developed because he became sympathetic towards something that is wrong, that God says no to. Amen? Thieves don't develop overnight, folks. It starts out with just taking a little thing from the shop, taking something from work. Huh. Folks, we shouldn't even take as much as a paper clip from work. If it's not yours, it don't belong to you. If they ask for permission. I remember when I was working in this one place, my boss would come in, and it was because it was my office in the place that I, and because he was accountable to the organization and to the people that were above him, he would come in. He was an administrator, and he'd come in and he'd say, I'm going to make a copy on the machine, but he was always make sure that he left something behind for that. He would pay for it. Now, that copy was probably less than a penny. I mean, if you're doing mass production, you know. But it was the principle that he, whatever he did, he was doing before God. He had an awareness. He had a fear of God that was keeping him on track. That, yeah, you might be able to rationalize and say, it's just a little thing. It's not a big thing. It's not a big deal. But I want you to, once again, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This has been the base of these teachings, and I want us to really get this down in our spirit because this has everything to do with you prospering in the Lord, and I want you to prosper. I don't want you to be hung up or bound up by the devil in any way. I want you and I to be free from every infestation, from every stronghold of the enemy. Chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Again, what is a stronghold? It's a fortified castle is what the word means. It's a place of security. And so when we're sympathetic towards evil, we are allowing the devil a place of security in our lives. And from there, he will begin his destruction. And casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, casting down arguments, that word arguments is imaginations, reasoning. It really means an arrogant thought. An arrogant thought that's exalting itself above what God says. And every high thing, that means an elevated place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That means that raises up against what God says. We all get these evil thoughts. Everybody gets evil. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. Or sanctified you think you are, we all get evil thoughts. The evil thought is not a sin. It becomes a sin when we begin to entertain it. When we begin to think on it, dwell on it, meditate on it. The first look is not a problem. It's, guys, when we start to take the second and third look. Amen? And then we begin to fantasize and we start to go into the wrong place. We begin to turn that person into something less than who they are in God. Amen? A creature of His. bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That word obedience means submission. In other words, my thought life has to be in submission to God's authority, to God's word. If I'm allowing thoughts in my mind, if I'm entertaining them, and they contradict, or they, if you will, undermine what God says, I have to take them captive and say, no, I am not going to entertain that. You know, it's very easy to cast a thought down when it first comes. When you first start to even get that thought and say, wait a minute, no, I refuse to go there. I have discovered that I can stop it right in its tracks like that. But when you allow yourself to go there for a period of time, now what's happening is you're starting to open yourself up for the enemy to come in and to establish a stronghold there, because you are giving in to him. You're allowing him basically to come in. He cannot touch you as long as you place yourself under God's authority. If you submit yourself to God, then you resist the devil and he'll flee. So every thought that we have has to be taken captive. Why do people, you know, hey, I'm talking to you as one who was in the drug culture, all right? Rock and roller, the whole thing. I was there. And it started out with just me. And I mean, I'm in fifth grade smoking cigarettes with my friends. You know, we're going in the woods and we're, you know, trying to be cool. And it wasn't until sixth grade. I mean, already in sixth grade, and kids nowadays, of course, it's even younger than that. Already in sixth grade, these guys are smoking weed, you know? And in my heart, I knew I shouldn't do this. But I want to fit in. I want to be cool. And I was kind of curious because, you know, it's like a forbidden fruit. As soon as you say no, it's like, well, why not? What's the big deal? What are you trying to hide out from me? Isn't that what Satan did with Eve? God's trying to hold out on you. He's trying to hide something from you. He knows you'll be like him if you yield to me. It was all a lie. Why? They were already like him. They were already like him in his image. But they were not God. They were still under their father's authority. There's a difference. Amen? And so, this is how the enemy works. Now, we can just say, well, that was a good teaching, and we can walk away and just forget all about it and go our merry way. But if you want to be free in your heart, if you want peace of heart and mind, if you want to know the joy of fellowship with Christ, then you're going to have to start aligning your thought systems, amen, with His. You're going to have to start to get your thinking in alignment with God's thinking. You're going to have to start meditating on those things that please God and casting down everything else that does not. Because He can't have you if you're not opening a way for Him to have you. And you're blocking Him from having access to you by sympathetic thoughts towards evil. That's why God hates sin and hates evil, because it destroys His creation. So it's not something cool. It's not something to play around with. You don't dabble. Amen. Even with the occult, you don't dabble with it. You stay away from it. Why? Because it's another God. It's a distraction to pull you away from Him, the true God. It all begins with a seed. It begins with a thought. What we do with that thought is going to determine how your life is going to go. We need to bring every thought into captivity. Now, there are two types of strongholds. The first one is the involuntary stronghold. These are pre-programmed back to our childhood. How about name calling? Words spoken against you, you know? You might have been called a name growing up. Maybe you're called dumb or ugly or sissy or useless or loser. Maybe we've done the same thing to other people. You know, people that have been bullied usually grow up to be bullies. Because you're operating out of a wound. God wants to heal you. But you've got to give Him permission. You've got to agree with Him in His counsel and His Word. And receive the love of Christ. Amen? That you might be healed. And so name calling. Remember the old term we used to say, sticks and stones may break my bones. Well, we said that on the East Coast anyway. It's probably here too, right? Yeah. But words will never hurt me. Inside you're going, oh! But it was your defense mechanism. You're just trying to get that thing off of you. How many have been hurt by words before? Right. It was no revelation, right? We've all been hurt by words. An involuntary stronghold can be something that was in your life before you were saved. It could be a stronghold of doubt, fear, insecurity, anger. How about physical, sexual, and emotional abuse that you might have been subjected to as a child? It wasn't your fault, no. But neither are we to be about the blame game either. There are a lot of people that whenever they have a problem, it's somebody else's fault. Now, there are things that happen to us that are somebody else's fault. And that's where forgiveness must come in. Because if you do not forgive, you're allowing that person to control you. That you're establishing a stronghold for the devil. Unforgiveness is like cancer to the soul. It'll eat you alive. It'll eat you up. And so, even though we've been hurt by words, what we need to do is we need to reverse that. And Jesus said it this way, bless those who curse you. How do you overcome? You overcome evil with good. You do the opposite. If they despitefully use you and persecute you, you pray for them. And every time you said, Lord, I forgive this person. And then the enemy wants to offer it back to you. And every time they come before you, once again you say, Lord, I release this person. I forgive them. The debt has been canceled. I let that person go. And sometimes I speak to them directly. I'll just speak their name and I say, I release you. I forgive you. You're free to go. Many people have been healed simply by coming into agreement with that confession that I need to let them go. And hallelujah, they may be going on their merry old way. And you are under this bondage because of something they did to you years ago. There are many people who are in a performance mode because they're ever trying to prove themselves because they were rejected when they were young. That is just as much of a bondage, folks. Performance driven, I've got to prove myself. Now, people can achieve by that, but they're not satisfied by that. Because once they get that achievement, because that thing is still there, that need to be proved or proven or validated, then they look for something else to prove or validate them. Well, I've got all the money now, says the tycoon, but I'm still not satisfied. There's still something that's missing. Well, we know who that is. It's Christ. Amen? Because only He can really satisfy you. Jesus did not validate Himself. The Father validated Him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. All I need is my Papa's validation, folks. I appreciate it when somebody gives me a compliment or says something nice about me. And, you know, we need to encourage each other, not flatter, but encourage one another in sincerity. But we always give the glory back to God and say, Father, thank you. Because God will validate you sometimes through others. It may be His voice speaking to you. Is saying you're doing a good job. And they may have just thought that was their thought, but it might have been God that dropped that in their spirit to say this. I want you to go to that person and commend them for doing a good job. And then you receive that. You don't say, oh, it wasn't me. Because it was you in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. How many have had people say, oh, it had nothing to do with me when you gave them a compliment? Did it feel good? No. You felt rejection. You felt like, man, they rejected my encouragement. If it was done in a pure heart, it would be encouragement. What you do is you say, thank you. You receive it, and then you say, thank you, Jesus. I give you the glory. I give you the praise for it. Amen? Amen?
Yes.
Because what they're doing is often when they bless you and somebody blesses you, they're blessing the one who sent you. They're blessing the God who has sent you. Are you with me? When you bless a child of God, you're blessing also God who has raised you up, who sent you. All right, I don't want to get too far off on a rabbit trail here, but we're talking about these involuntary strongholds sometimes that are brought on because, you know, I was a kid, I was innocent. This guy tried to, you know, just an example, you know, he set me up and he abused me and now I've got, you know, all these problems in my life and I've got this thing of fear and you know and then what happens is often people who have been molested, you know, they become molesters. You know? And it's because they need deliverance. The enemy gets in through sometimes these types of these avenues of abuse. And often people need actual deliverance. Sometimes there are demons there that are tormenting them, that they need to be exorcised. They need to be cast out of these people. And until they are set free and filled with the Holy Spirit, they're going to continue down this destructive pattern or path. The second is the voluntary stronghold. You know? This is when we say, okay, I know what God says, but God will understand. We strike a deal with God, you know. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. How many of you know that verse very well? It's very true. We need to be on our alert. We need to be mindful that if these thoughts begin to come to you, you have a choice. You can either entertain them or you can cast them down. And you do have the authority to do that in Jesus' name. I don't buy this. I could not help myself. You even have people, and I don't want to get off onto this, but that will come into church and they'll act out and say, I couldn't help myself. You know, the body is doing this and they're out here doing that. It's out of order. And they say, I just couldn't help myself. Oh, yes, you could. Because the Bible says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So what we do together. Amen? We are a team. We're a body. And we're not islands. We are a family. So this is the process. Are you ready for this? Some of you know this already, but it begins with the evil thought. You might want to write this down. And evil thoughts begin to produce an attitude. How many have had teenagers, right? We've all been teenagers before, right? It starts out with the thought. They don't know what they're talking about. Then comes the attitude. I don't need to listen to what they have to say. They don't know what they're talking about anyways. Right? And then the attitude, if it continues to go forward, turns into an action. Then they start to actually do things that are destructive to themselves. And then after a while, actions become what? Habits. Started out, you know, just smoking a little weed. You know, an occasional weekend. And then, after a while, it was the attitude that was wrong. You know, I'm making excuses for my sin. And then what happens is the attitude turns into what? Action. Action then becomes a habit. And then the habit produces a way of life. It becomes your life. And it becomes a stronghold. Now let me just say this, that it's impossible for you to be free from a stronghold as long as you refuse to take responsibility for your own thought, life, and actions. So you can hear all kinds of messages about this and just continue to go on your merry way, and in your heart just say, well, I don't agree with that, and just set it on the shelf or just completely throw it out. But if you want to be free, you're going to have to come to the place in your life where you say, I'm going to take responsibility for my actions here. Anybody ever watch Judge Judy? I can't watch it very long, but once in a while I tune in just to see what people are doing, and they're embarrassing themselves in front of millions of people. But they come up with the most frivolous stuff, you know, and they're suing families for suing family, and you know, they're just doing all this destructive stuff to each other, and a lot of it doesn't even make any sense. But it begins, you know, with usually, I don't want to be responsible for my actions. Somebody's not taking responsibility and saying, you're right, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I'm guilty. I don't know when the last time I actually heard where there was a court case where the person immediately came out and said, I'm guilty. I can't remember the last time I actually heard that, folks. Have you? It's always not guilty. Not guilty. It's always, it's someone else's fault for my problems. I wouldn't be like I am if it wasn't for so-and-so. No, you're not taking responsibility for your own actions. We want to do the blame game, you know? It was from the very beginning, you know. Well, the serpent. And then Adam was, well, the woman you gave me. It's always somebody else's fault for my problems. You know what? Whether it is or not, we still need to take responsibility for how we handle those things. In other words, even if somebody does mistreat you, even if you are abused by somebody, even if somebody does lie about you, it's not so much what they did to you as much as it is your response to what they did to you. What is God looking at? God is looking at your response. Are you going to do what I would do in that case? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus is saying, are you going to do what I would do in that situation? When you're confronted with an evil thought, what are you going to do with it? Do you know Jesus had evil thoughts brought on him too, did he not? But he dealt with them. He cast them down. He used the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, because that was his standard. That was his authority. So it begins with a thought, an evil thought. And then it becomes an attitude. And then an action, a habit, and then eventually a stronghold. I want to give you one example here, okay? And I'm going to continue on tonight, by the way, with this same teaching. This is going to go for a season, and God wants to break some stuff off of you. But you got to be willing to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. God's been speaking to some of you already this morning. If you're willing to cooperate and listen to Him, He's going to break you free. He's going to set you free. See, the devil will no longer have any place or any legal authority to be in your life because you've agreed with God. And you said, the Word of God is my standard. I'm receiving the love of the truth. When you receive the truth, amen, there's no longer any place for him to hang out. He's like, the light's on, boys. We've been discovered. Uh-huh. And so now, all you need to do then, once you've repented, is say, in the name of Jesus, you get out of my life right now. You're no longer welcome here. Be filled with the Holy Spirit instead. Lying. This is an example of a stronghold. Starts out with the one lie. You been in the cookie jar, Johnny?
No.
He's got cookie all over his face, you know. Well, I thought I heard you in there. I thought I heard someone digging in the cookie jar. That wasn't you. No, that was so-and-so. There's another lie. And what happens is we go from one lie to another to cover up the first lie to a place where your life becomes a lie. People become habitual liars, but it didn't happen overnight. They established a stronghold. They allowed a stronghold for the enemy. And they become deceitful. They become deceitful workers even. Because it started with the first lie. And then it became, the other lies followed to try to cover the first lie. And on to the point where now, because their conscience bothers them so bad, they're actually working very hard to convince themselves that they're actually right. And they actually begin to believe their own lies, and they get into a place of a reprobate mind. That means where they're gone. They're just hooked into that thing, and it becomes a pattern of a life. It's a stronghold. God can break people free from that. Do you want to be free? You have a problem telling the truth? God can set you free from it. You got to come back to square one and say, where did it all begin? Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the very first lie. I want this thing out of me. I want to be clean. I want to be free. Because what happens, folks, is when you align yourself with mistruth, when you start to speak something that's not true, you're actually aligning yourself with the father of lies, who is Satan. Lying is huge. It's huge. There's no such thing as a little white lie. It's either true or false. And when you start to tell lies, you're aligning yourself with Satan, and you're giving him permission to come in with the big guns and really start to oppress you. And now you can't help but you, without even realizing it, you're telling lies. You know what God says about lying? Revelation 22:15. It says, but outside of heaven, outside of the city, those who are barred from heaven are dogs, sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. That is a person who is operating in a place of deception, where their life is a lie, they're living a lie. How many know that a hypocrite is a life of a lie? You're living a lie. You're trying to convince people that you're this when you know you're not. And sometimes we even think we can get away with that with God. That somehow God won't catch this. He won't recognize it. Like God will just wink at that thing, you know? Do you know why God gave us standards? Because He loves us. God has written His law on our hearts as a New Testament believer. Amen? Amen? And He put them there because He loves His kids. And He gives us instructions for life so that we may know what life is all about and that we may live a life that is abundant and that is free. It is free from the infestation of the enemy. Amen? And so we need to agree with the counsel of the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, that the Word of God is good. I accept it. I adjust my life to the Word. I don't try to adjust it to fit my lifestyle. We are to be conformed to the image of Christ. We are not to make a Jesus of our own fashioning to fit us. Well, I don't like that Jesus. I don't like what He said there. What are you doing? You are creating your own Jesus now. You're making one that fits you rather than being conformed into His image. That's what's called idolatry. You're creating your own God. And I'm going to just finish with this. We know that we're living in a time when there are many deceivers. There are many voices. There are many messages being presented, even in the name of Christianity, in the name of Christ. There are many groups out there that are, you know, they've got their own Jesus. They've got their own way of looking at it. They're not accepting the Jesus of the Bible because they don't like what they read in that book. And so what they do is they begin to question the authority of Scripture. As soon as you question the authority of Scripture, you're already down the wrong path. Because then you become an authority unto yourself. And I will pick and choose what's true and what's not. And so what they do is they sow a thought, and it's really an evil thought, that the Word of God is not reliable. That it's been tampered with. Are you with me today? And as soon as you start to question the authority of this book right here, now you become an authority unto yourself, and you set your own standards, you set your own ways, you make Jesus to whoever you want Him to be for you, because I happen to like Him this way, not the way He really is, but the way I want Him to be. And by the way, I find that the Jesus of the Bible is totally awesome, and I want to be just like Him.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And so you have false teachers and people that are going around and deceiving people. And they have another Jesus, another gospel. And again, folks, what's happened is the enemy has established a stronghold in their life. How many have had the JWs come to your door knocking, right? The Jehovah's Witnesses. What do they do? In each case, even the Mormons, they begin to question the authority of Scripture. And they put a question mark in people's mind. It's the same one that Satan used in the very beginning. Did God say that? Did He really mean what He said? And then they just said, I wonder. And then they begin to introduce false doctrine, false teaching. And that person begins to get sucked into a lie. It begins with just an opening a little bit to start entertaining false teaching, which then becomes a stronghold in their life. They've opened the door, and now the enemy comes in. And people that have been in that cult for a long time often are extremely difficult to reach. Because the longer they're in the deception, the greater the deception grows, and to the point where they believe the lie so much that even though you may present truth to them in a way that they can't even refute it, and instead of saying, "You're right," they'll change the subject. There's two kinds of people. Deceivers, the ones that are literally deceiving, and the deceived. And often the people who are deceived are the ones that still have a chance, folks. We need to open their eyes through the truth, amen, through the Word of God, but through prayer, that God will open their understanding to receive the truth, to receive the real Jesus, amen? So these are a couple examples of strongholds. There's addictions, there's lying, you know, and there's false teaching. And I want to finish with this, that a true teacher is one who is not representing themselves, but they're representing the one who sent them. Jesus didn't even represent Himself on the earth. He represented the Father. Everything was about the Father. The Father said, the Father does. And so a true prophet is one who is always saying, it's not me, it's Jesus, amen? We're giving glory to God. Hallelujah.